Hello, welcome into episode 125 of Caithness Craft Collective. 125. Does that make me an intercity train? Woo-woo! I'm Louise. Today I've got a blather with random. Well, to crack a rundown of the Edinburgh Yarn Festival, me section, which is weighty, and a showbie section. I sponsor this from my own energy engineering business, Energy Hunt. Any links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea, or your dram, or your candle, because I've got mine on. And I'll let you know what a crack is in Caithness and Edinburgh this week.
Now for the blather.
The blather. Random. A month or so back now, there was this thing on Facebook for random things that you might not know about me. I thought it might be fun if I put them on here too, so we can share some between us. It's one of those nomination things, and I was nominated by my friend Kirsteen, and now I nominate all of you lot on yours. My seven were interesting enough. Well, I thought they were. That's a bit smug, isn't it? Now, the first ones were, number one, I used to think that Shaken Stevens lived in my Auntie Jessie's record player as it had square speakers. Altered Images and Adamant were in the other ones. I used to think he was little, about 5 inches tall. Number two, I can ski to black slope level, but I much prefer to ski backwards down the blue slope level. It's way much more fun. Number three, I listen to Radio 3 in the car, and for you abroad types, it's a classical musical station, and I pretend I'm driving around in my own film soundtrack. It's great when there's something dramatic. Makes a boring drive much more interesting. Number four, I was going home from work once when I was temping in at the Edinburgh Airport cargo area, and the bus had to stop to let the Queen and Prince Philip pass. The bus driver and I were the only ones on the bus, and we both waved and gawped. I don't recall her waving back. Then it all got boring, and I thought it would be much more fun to tenuously link it to craft, because this is a craft podcast, yes. Now, I do more than seven crafts, but I've limited them down to one, knitting, crochet, patchwork and quilting, drawing and painting, embroidery, card making and cross stitch. It's quite difficult to choose one random fact from each of them and keep them in the patchwork and quilting together. In fact, it really could be a series of seven episodes to do seven random facts about each craft, but lucky you, I'm just going to save it to one episode. So number one, knitting. Out of the 70 projects on my Ravelry page, because I looked, I have felted 5 and only one on purpose, given away 22 as presents or for charity. I've unravelled 4 and the rest are still kicking around the house, barring the ones that the bairns have grown out of and I haven't yet handed them on to the rag bag for African Rosie. We say that because we have a clothes and a shoes box at school, and it's taken away to be sold or cut up for rags, and the school gets a wee percentage as money back. And I was explaining to Daisy, well, it goes to those less fortunate than us in Africa. And she said, well, what's her name? And I says, well, what do you want her name to be? And she went, Rosie. Anything we put there to help goes to African Rosie or African Rosie's mum or African Rosie's dad or African Rosie's brother or cousins. She's doing pretty well out of us, so it's quite a good way of teaching children about charity as well. Number two, I made Daisy a winter coat from crochet, from the Sue Whiting Weekend Crochet Book for Babies, and the photograph is the one used for the project itself, which I quite chuffed at. My daughter's very cute. However, my random fact is that I don't own the book. I took out of the library a grand total of 7 times to make it from the beginning idea to the finished object. And she would have received the library royalties, which I'm okay with not paying for the pattern now, because she probably would have made twice what the pattern was. This is actually a really lovely book, but the reason I didn't buy it was because at the time Daisy was in the largest sized offered and it was for babies. and I had no intention of any more babies. Although I kind of forgot about my friends having babies and crocheting for them right off. Yeah. But I do recommend Sue Whitedean's Weekend Crochet Book for Babies. Number 3, Patchwork and Quilting. I got a book out the library called Crazy Patchwork a good few years ago now. It had a pattern in for a felted hot plate where you put your pan on, which I made 2 of. One for me and one for my pal Mari, who had just moved into our new flat. And it was the first book where I realised that, oh, quilting and patchwork is for me after all. I had taken it in to show them at textile artists, and I knew that I had too thick a cotton for the binding of the hot plate, and I said, I'll have to unpick that bit again, because I'd been taught everything I knew so far by my mum, who is Mrs. Unpick it, make it perfect. To which Dorothy said, just trim that bit off and it'll turn over no problem. So this unlocked quilting for me, so my stuff was not perfect and I realised I could get round small problems like that. Obviously for the shop, my sewing has come on big time now, and if I'm selling things I really make sure they're perfect because I like to buy perfect. Moving on. Drawing and painting, number 4. I really like the watercolour and pen ink drawing, and every now and again I have an urge to paint. Mostly these days it doesn't build up because I'm often crayoning or doodling or felt tipping with the bairns. On paper, not actually felt tipping on the bairns. It has been known for them to do it to themselves right now. I really like Zentangles and I have doodled a form of this since being at school. But I'd not known about them till about 3 or 4 years ago. Plus I can't draw very accurately, but I enjoy painting. I have a pen and ink book and my favourite bit from it is to fountain pen ink, scratchy, nibbly noise, oh, I love that, a seagull onto some watercolour paper. Oh, sorry, are you still here? I'm just remembering the noise. Oh, I love fountain pens. Scratchy noise. Right, moving on. Number 5, embroidery. I love embroidery. My mum bought me a Learn How to Embroidery box when I was very young, and there was cards in it that you punched the holes out of and learned how to do the basic stitches. Of course, Mum still has the box. I also have a wee bamboo woven round box that has my Learn How to Knit, Sew and Tapestry kit from when I was little. And this includes my oldest work in progress of a butterfly from plastic canvas, and it's using acrylic yarns and plastic bodkin needles. I might finish it one day, but I might not. Number 6, card making. Every year I think, I know, I'll make everybody's birthday cards and all cards that I need for the year in advance, so I'm not rushing around at the last minute. So far, I've never done this. Cross stitch, number 7. I started doing kits when I was in the halls of residence at university. I saw someone doing a Garfield one and she told me, well, go to John Lewis, and that's where I got a wee kit, which is a black Scotty dog. Which I thought was quite ironic, the fact I've got a little black terrier, even though he's not a Scotty dog. He is a Scotland dog, because he lives in Scotland. But there was very little instructions in this kit and no needle. It's really not very good, but well, I still have it up in my old bedroom at Mum's house. And I think, yeah, look at where you came from, look at how good you are now at things. And well, how much more you can still improve. I have an Apache wedding blessing cross-stitch kit that I bought in 2000 when I got engaged, and it's still not even half finished. It's my other oldest work in progress. But I like to think of, well, somebody said that if you do finish it, does that mean the marriage is over? So maybe it's a good thing I don't. However, I can't wait to hear yours all via this, all things social media. If you need a pee, stop and go, because it's time for the Deezy and Sandy giggle.
Hello.
Hello section. A Sandy hello to new to me, been with me for a while now, and been with me forever listeners. I very much appreciate you tuning in, and I hope you're enjoying yourself. A Sandy hello to new group members. Morag Rue, Tracy Triumph, whom I met in Edinburgh, and she was wearing a beautifully vintage-style cardigan and was organising a wool festival event in Leeds on the 6th of June. I'll get more details from her in future episodes. She gave me a leaflet about it, and I said I'd like to talk to her a bit more about it nearer the time. And also blue unicorn. Cool. If you're going to have a unicorn, why not a blue one?
What's the crack, said Trin?
What's the crack, Sir Terry Pratchett? Oh, I'm sad to talk about Sir Terry Pratchett's passing. He remains one of my favourite authors, and I know I'm not alone in having this sense of humour from a fictional world riding on the back of four elephants on a giant space turtle. I haven't read all of his books, but I do fancy going back to the start and reading them again. I'll have to rebuy the ones from the start because I know I'd put them to a charity shop when we moved from Stirling to Oban in 2003. We were thinking now Sandy's old enough to appreciate them, so these certainly won't be going anywhere going back to a charity shop. If any of you fancy having a read-along, I'll open a thread in Ravelry where you can dip in and out as you please. My all-time favourite of Discworld books are the Tiffany Aiken series with the Knack-Mack Feagles. Love them. But I will happily start again with The Luggage and Rincewind and Two Flowers, and of course The Librarian and The Colour of Magic. Sir Terry will be greatly missed by his family and by all fans of his work, and I'm really proud to say that I am one of them. Edinburgh Yarnfest Rundown. Moving on to happier things. Well, the Edinburgh Yarnfest was pretty amazing. Mum and I headed south last Friday afternoon and we stayed at the Marriott at the Maybury Roundabout. I'd stayed there before and I recommend it. And I thought, oh, it's on the route of the tram, that'll be quite easy for public transport. But no, they built the tram line to go to the Gael. So we never made it onto them. But we did see them when we were on Princess Street on the Sunday morning. We got up and at them early doors on Saturday morning, and I suggested that we went for breakfast at the Asda beside the Corn Exchange because our rate didn't include breakfast. I thought, great, we'll get cash out, get our lunch, go get parked and be in by 9. And the event started at 10, but I would be there earlier. Goes into Asda. Excuse me, where's your cafe? Oh, we don't have a cafe, we have a McDonald's. My heart sank. I don't do McDonald's. However, we did McDonald's and tried their bacon rolls and hot chocolate. I'm in no hurry to go back. And I mourn the fact that we didn't just go to the cafe or have our breakfast in the hotel because we had it on Sunday and it was fine. That aside, I got my sushi lunch and a bottle of water. And the bottle of water was excellent because it got quite hot mid-afternoon. And then we went off to find parking, which was a wee bit worried about because they suggest that you take public transport to the Corn Exchange, which is pretty well a public transported, arrangemented, what's the right word? Facilitated for public transport. However, where our hotel was, I knew that there wasn't a direct bus, and I thought by the time that we spend money on bus fares and wait for buses and it's probably going to rain, I'll just take the car. So we did that. And I went round a drive. I'd never ever been in Edinburgh before. But the rest of it was, I was going down memory lane in some of it. Okay, so I found parking right outside the Corn Exchange. And I mean literally on the road beside the entrance. That never happens to me. I didn't even have to reverse park. And then realised, well, there's plenty parking about at that time in the morning. So panic over. So we went in, courtesy of Louise Scully of Knit British Podcast. She opened us up a side door and handed me a press pass. If you've never met Louise, try to. She is the Cagney to my Lacey, the Shetland to my Caithness. She is the most kindest soul you will ever meet, and I would have her standing beside me in the trench, as they say. Credit is most definitely due to this lady who organised the podcaster lounge for us mere mortals. There was a free raffle for a door prize for listeners, and there was a 10-stitch blanket wanting to be knitted on, which was kindly sponsored by Waste Yorkshire Spinners. There, of course, was the schedule of podcasters talking and organising, and then the big meet-up over lunchtime. Louise had got 5 couches after only asking for 2, but in reality could have done with 20, the amount of people that came over and hung about. She did a stunt at the cabaret, and then she did it all again on Sunday. And we met the lovely fella in real life, and he is lovely. And I just said to Louise in an email this morning, keep him. The venue itself did not disappoint. And I remember when there was an actual mart selling sheep and coos down there. It's just down the hill from Craig Lockhart campus of Napier University, where I was at the Halls of Residence. The Corn Exchange hosts lots of conferences and arts exhibitions and events, and I thought it was a great place for this. Most of the stalls were in the main market area. There was a few out west, and all but one of the alleyways were a really good width, so you had enough room to get around in it. And the one that wasn't quite as thick, it was okay, it was just really quite busy at some points. The cafe area was huge, and whilst they were pretty slow at the coffee, the seating area was brilliant. There were even plenty of toilets, and for a mostly female audience, that was pretty extraordinary. They had more vendors than on Wine Bright, and I'm not sure about the workshops, but then it wasn't a competition. I'm just giving you an idea of what the size of the event it was. The staff were all extremely friendly, the ones I spoke to were very helpful. And we had a great crack with the guy on the door telling them, you better watch it, because they wifies, when they come in, they've got right sharp elbows and they will boof you out the way. So when we went out later on, I says, how did you get elbowed? And he went, oh, they were terrible. So he was quite nice to speak to. Thank you so, so much for everyone coming over and sharing my day. Mum and I really appreciate you doing that. Especially the husband who asked where the whiskey was. I think your name was Sam. He was uber cool and he gets extra bonus points because he listens to me splaff on. And he was at a yarn event. Forgive me everyone for not remembering you immediately. It really does take me a wee bit of time to get you into context and firstly to hear and understand your names. It got quite noisy in there and my Great Scottish Tapestry talk was a little drowned out, but extra thanks to those who came in and listened to it. I hope you learned a little something that I'd not shared before. The tapestry itself is now moving to Ayrtown Hall the 4th of April to the 31st of May, and it's going to be open 7 days. And then in the summer, it's going to Kirkcaldy Galleries the 20th of June to the 20th of September. Again, I urge you to go along and learn more about the history of Scotland through a beautifully crafted embroidery. Louise's Knit British yarn tasting went down very well, and I got a sneak preview because I had wanted to buy something, and I'll mention it soon. Now, there was Claire Devine doing her sock surgery with Joe from Shiny Bees, and I met Cece Allman and Knit Rundig Sam, and oodles and oodles of my listeners, and I was going to put you in. In fact, I was going to sing you a song of I met Ella and I met Maddie and I met Stumpy, but there's so many of you, it just hurt my ears and you're now bleeding, so I'm going to stop. But I very much appreciate you coming over and speaking to me and putting up with me going, who are you again? Yes! And also lurkers. I loved speaking to the lurkers. And they were all like, oh, I'm really sorry, I just lurk. I was like, doesn't matter. I lurk with loads of podcasts. So really pleased and just so tickled. Now, do you want to know what I bought? Yeah. You sure? Well, I got myself a yarn bowl with my birthday money from Mum. It has a lid on it. It is currently hosting the yarn for my owls. I got this from Wendy Fowler Pottery and this was out on the concourse. And I had walked round when we came in just to have a quick look, see who was there, say hello to a couple of people. And I actually introduced myself to people too. And I looked at the yarn bowls and Mum had given me my money for my birthday. And what I really wanted to do was just go around and decide what I wanted to buy. And then go back and buy it instead of just going mad and spending everything. So I sat there and I thought, I really would like a yarn bowl. So, at the end, I went and got one. I was delighted. And after squishing the yarn to find some British yarn that was super soft, I went and got some Eden Cottage Blue-Faced Leicester DK yarn. And this is going over the Atlantic for a present. I very much enjoyed the painting yarn there on the Eden Cottage stand. We got speaking to a lady who was petting a lime green and shocking pink together for a striped jumper. Oh, it was so soft. And I was pleased to buy yarn at a yarn event. I had to wipe off the drool around Helen of Ripplecraft's stall. Her assistant is a runner, so we had a wonderful conversation about running before the show started. So that was really nice, I enjoyed that. And I was meaning to get yarn from Helen, but due to not having my list, I thought I'd leave it till Dingwall. I'll tell you about the list in a bit. I made a beeline for Owl Print Panda's Amanda. I tried to stuff her into my handbag, but she fights and she wouldn't stay put. Darn it. Anyway, I bought her Ashton Lane pattern, which is a shawl pattern, and it has beads on it, and it has triangular sections on it. And it's designed about around the wee lane of Byers Road called Ashton Lane. She had hers in grey Ripplecraft yarns, and it really did remind me of the grey cobbled street that I treaded when I was a young 20-year-old with my pal Kirstine. Oh, Kirstine's in this again. I learned to drink aftershocks in that street. And there I will leave that tale. I did tell her, but I'm not going to tell you. Sharing her stand was Lauren of Walk You Home fame, and she was selling the cutest little pouches made from Hungry Caterpillar fabric, which came home with me. I also bought a wee bottle of Soak. This was again from Eden Cottage, and it was, which that's a specialised wool detergent. I got mine in the lacy name and smell, and I'm not sure if it's aimed at doing lace, but because I was being lacy to Cagney, Louise of Knit British Cagney, I thought, I'm having me that. I don't have anything to blockade. There were lovely wee thoughtful areas of pop-up shops for start-up vendors and a cooperative area for the local knit group, who were volunteers at the event, and as such got a space to sell their wares. I bought a shawl pattern from Ruth Churchman, purely because it was called Dreaming Daisy Shawl, which was a triangular shawl with two colours. One of it she had used a Zauberball, and of course I'm like, I don't have a Zauberball, and by that point in time I wasn't buying any more yarn. And I was trying to stick to the British yarn, but I'm sure I've got stuff in my stash. And there's a Daisy lace pattern on it, but to be perfectly honest, I would have bought it just for the name. I'm a sucker for everything Daisy. But it's a good thing to support our designers too. What I really liked with Ruth, apart from she was really nice to speak to, she took my details and then the PDF appeared in my Ravelry library. This is a great thing. And I know Hannah Fettig is trialing this, and Isolde did this with her Little Raid in the Big City book, because you got a scratch off panel with a code for Ravelry. It's completely wonderful because, well, you never know when you're going to lose your pattern at knit night or if the puppy eats it, and then you have it in your Ravelry library, which is not actually very easy to say for me today, and you can re-download this. I'm not sure how much extra work this entails, but I'm very thankful and hopeful that this is the way forward for all designers. I was catching up with the Knitmores on the way home in the car, and Jasmine mentioned that Hannah Fettig was doing this. And I remember I was driving down the Berriedale Braes exactly at that point in time. I thought, that's really funny how she said that about me getting that very service the day before. I bought some fat quarters from the Jameson Tweed fabric, and they were at quite a good price, and they were doing a rip-roaring trade every time I went past. This is Jameson's of Shetland, and she had a wicked Shetland accent. It was really lovely to hear. And finally, I bought a wee packet of silk threads and some hand-dyed materials for doing textile artists, but there was no label on the packet, and I'm not actually very sure where I got them from now. You got given a map of the Corn Exchange itself, the building, where the toilets were, where the market was, the cafe, and the sort of bistro. Oh, is that where that was? And on the other side, it had a map of the market area with the list of the vendors. And I'm just going to go through this very quickly. There was Emily Folds, Scottish Machine Knitters, McCree Brothers, I never saw them, Pearlescence, Woolfish, Little Jim Knits, Shetland Wool Week, Strathern Fleece and Fibre, Owlprint Panda, Woolly Felt Design, Pom Pom Quarterly, Tilly Flop Designs, The Crochet Project by Mrs. D, Woolen Flower, Jolie's Kitchen, Laura's loom, tin can knits. Oh, she had the baby there. Well, he's not a baby anymore. He was lovely. La Maison Tricot. Maybe that's where I got the... don't know. Dublin Dye, Jameson's of Shetland. John Arburn Textiles. I spoke to Juliet Arburn. She was lovely. Oh, gee whiz, she is cool as anything. I really liked her. Scottish Fibres, Knockandoo Wool Mill, The Peahot Stand, Winston and Fiona Daily Textiles, Pearl Alpaca, Rebels Craft, of course, Textile Garden, Toft Alpaca, Ginger Twist Studio, Yarn Garden. I went in and got a cuddle from George, but alas, Louise was not there the couple of times I went past. The Border Mill, Easy Knits, was there with his lovely sock wheel. And I forced myself to go past because I still never used the stuff I bought from him when I was in Glasgow a couple of years ago now, almost. Barham U, Old Maiden Ants, Dye Ninja, Knit Now magazine, The Border Tart, Eden Cottage Yarns, Susan Crawford Vintage, and then there was Wendy Fowler Pottery, The Pop-Up Market had Kingfisher's Blue, Chameau Makes, Katrina Brown's Spin Pretty, Wildcat Crafts, and Yellow Bear Wears. That's on alphabetical order, amongst others. I mean, I've missed out loads there. I've just gone and picked out some that I recognised or I went into. So I then lived vicariously through the rest of the festies, as you lot that attended. I loved sitting on the podcaster lounge asking everyone what they bought. In fact, it was a little bit sharp about, what did you get? Yeah. And I had to be really restrained not to go and buy it all. Well, see, I wasn't actually going to be. I had written down on a piece of paper, remember I said this, what my queue wanted yarn for. I was very well organised, I thought. And then I went to take this bit of paper out of my handbag. Wasn't there. Still can't find it. No idea where it went. I actually think Richard burned it because it's never reappeared. I thought I'd left it in the hotel bed when I took out the heavy things from my handbag. Oh, now that's a top tip. If your handbag is a little on the weighty side, then gut it before you go to an event when you'll be carrying things about all day. It'll feel a little bit weird at first because I know I can tell if my purse or my phone isn't in my bag by the weight. But by the end of the day, your shoulders will thank you. Overall, I thought the event seemed to be a success, and I really hope that the organisers and vendors thought so too. Thank you very much to all of them. There was a real suggestive remark of next year, so I think in 2016, I'll try and make 2 days, including the cabaret, because I had complete fear of missing out, FOMO. Although, when we got back to the hotel, I was shattered tired. Goodness knows how they all went out at night and then did a whole other day selling and talking. Could have done the talking, I suppose, but at a push. There was people I didn't see that knew were going, and some I only saw for 5 minutes. One or two I saw and didn't really click on who they were until afterwards, and totally fangirled No Tail Kit, who decided who's the coolest knitter ever. And to top it off, I was in Isolde and Stephen B's stand, because I was looking for Stephen B's Enchanted Mesa pattern. And I was just about to come up when Isolde jumped in front of me with a big, "Hiya!" I got a fright and I went, "Oh, hiya, how are you? Oh, love your jumper." At which point, she realised she'd no idea who I was. I went to speak to me, the lady standing behind me, who would think that "hiya" was actually for in the first place. I know I could have introduced myself. You know, I was actually quite good at that before the event started, because it seemed really easy when there was no other punters inside. And I love Mrs. John Arburn. Juliet. She's ace. Well, I've said that now. There was no one inside. But then when it came down to it, I didn't introduce myself to Isolde. Never mind. Maybe next year I'll get someone to introduce me to her and then I won't feel so stupid. It was a fantastic event, and I'll take from it meeting new and old knitting buddies. And with a big smile on my face. And you know, I've had complete withdrawal symptoms this past week. And last weekend I was doing this at this point in time. And then I was doing that. So it was a good weekend and made some new memories. Right, moving on. Flat Stanley. A quick request that if you offer to take Flat Stanley from a Bairns school project, to please send the teacher the photographs this weekend, as their last day of term is next Friday the 4th of April. If you've not managed, don't worry, but thank you for your offer anyway. They've had a lovely time with him all over the world, and he's been to four corners of the world with some of your help. Pattern additions. For those of you who have bought the Castle Freezer throughout the year by Spinny Gonzalez, Aurorael Colas, and she said it was okay that I couldn't pronounce it properly, to make her, she's lovely, and her little baby. Joe got a wee cuddle with her, and I was just, I must have been pea green with envy watching Joe play with this baby. I don't know how she does this, because she has put out another pattern. This month we are looking to make some fingerless mitts from 50 grams of sock yarn. Aurelie writes, remember the daffodils are a quick soothing knit with a gentle rhythm created by the cables and a little bit of lace. As spring is roaring around like a March lion, these gloves are perfect for this time of year and really wouldn't take you very long to make. So it's Remember the Daffodils by Spinny Gonzalez. Also, the Canadian Art Deco collection by Natalie Servant has this month the pattern, the Shaw Inigan scarf. Apologies for not pronouncing that very well. A double knit reversible scarf taken from the top of a building in Montreal. It's lovely. It could be worn by any age or sex, or is really classy. And I also note that Natalie's front cover of her ebook has wee squares on the right hand side, and she's filling it up with the pattern's logos as she adds them to the book. Very cool. And I like the project page picture. A very handsome man sporting that scarf. You can buy both of these books, obviously, and through Ravelry, and you get a new pattern every month or so. It's like the gift that keeps on giving. That's Castle Freezer Throughout the Year by Aurorael Colas and Canadian Art Deco by Natalie Service. I'll link them. Don't worry, my pronunciation is not great.
The Beaker section.
Me, me, me section. Yes, because it's all about me. A bit more about me, really. I'm marching away with my Owl's Jumper by Kate Davis. I'm using New Lanark Chunky, which is in the dark grey marled colour that they're called Pebble. And I'm using a 7mm needle for the body to achieve correct tension, as in the pattern. When I printed out this pattern a long time ago now, I must have been on a save paper kick and clicked print double-sided with two pages on each side. The writing was quite small. So I've had to read and reread and squint to understand it sometimes. I tend to keep my patterns, if I've printed them off, in poly pockets, and I fold them and they get a bit tatty by the end of the garment. I have a post-it note on the inside of the poly pocket with a pencil. The post-it note is for me to make notes on and keep my place. So far, it's working. And I have one line on the side increases before I march up for the split for the armholes. I had a little panic on though. I'd used a disappearing knot to join two balls the first time I had knitted this, and I was at least five rows past it, and I thought, that knot's come undone. Run around like a headless chicken time squealing. Ah! Calm down and get a grip yourself, woman. Dinna fash, if you're an Outlander fiend. And then I grabbed both ends and wound one of them back round some of the stitches it had lost and then tied it back together. It's not a disappearing knot this time. It's a you will tie together and you will stay there or else knot. But stay on the inside, if you don't mind. So I think it knows now not to move. And thankfully, it's following up the line of my increases, so it's on the inside and camouflaged. I'm pleased to say that my jumper is 13 inches long now. I will use you lot as my accountability meter, and this will force me to carry on. And this jumper is my unicorn project. Not a blue one, more of a grey marled one. It's always been there, and a couple of times it hasn't worked, but I want to make it. And then when I make it, what will I do? It's like the purple shoes. I made a dress, a purple dress, a few years ago. I love this dress, and I actually wore it for my birthday. And then I realised, oh, it needs taken in now. Woohoo! But I could never find shoes to match. And every time I went near a shoe shop, it would be my thing. Oh, I'll just have a wee look for purple court shoes. has to be in the right shade of purple, because there is a few shades of this purple that you get shoes in, and the other times I've ever seen it, apart from the £80 shoes, which I couldn't actually afford at the time, the other shade clashes with my dress shade of purple. So, on my way to Edinburgh, we stopped in at the Inverness Retail Park. We went to the Giraffe Restaurant, and I really love their salads. Oh, yum. Then we went to Starbucks for a coffee to take down the road, which is above New Look, which is a dress, fashion-y, well, very fashion-y type of shop. It used to be Borders Bookshop, but sadly they went into administration. I've never forgiven them for it. However, we will always go through New Look up into Starbucks. And I goes, I'll just look for purple shoes, Mum. Guess what? I finally found them. So, £19.99 later, not great quality, but for all the times I'll wear that dress, they will last and last and last. So, what's the point, caller? My Owl's jumper is a bit like that. What will I want to do when I've finally made it? But somewhere along the line, the penny dropped. Can always make another one in a different colour. Twit twoo, because owls come in many colours. I'm on the foot for sandy socks, and I'm using the Totally Vanilla Socks by Cookie A because I've made them before and kind of understand the pattern. I was sitting eating lunch, flicking through the book yesterday, which is Socktopus by Alice Yu aka Cookie A. Guess what's in it? The Channel Island cast on. I didn't realise this at the time, and in the end I went with a cable cast on, which seemed to be okay, but I'm definitely going to revisit some of the patterns in the book now because I kind of understand socks a bit better. I wanted something to be working on in Edinburgh because the Owls was too big and nothing else seemed to be suitable. And it was kind of funny how many of us were actually working on socks. Mines were not at an exciting stage at all because I cast on a knit one purl one rib for maximum elasticity. I'm using Gnome Acres sock yarn, which is in the colour Wabbit Season Duck Season. I love it, Sue, just like yourself. It's not pilling at all and it has a very high twist, which I need to use tiny little toothpicks, almost like needles, to knit on to get the fabric dense enough once I've hit the leg part. They sped up. The colour changes every 10 centimetres or so, and it gives a really nice mottled effect. And I'm keeping these in my Mackay Tartan project bag. I did actually do more work on the silk handkerchief knitting. I changed the needles over to Knitpick Symphony because the cheapy ones from China are just not pointy enough for the yarn two together. I also made a few more lengths of yarn from the silk, and I gave my hands an olive and sugar scrub beforehand. Now, I bought an emery board for the hangnails too because I couldn't find the emery board that I had. Well, I stupidly gave it to Daisy and it's just gone. Gone into the realms of Daisy La La Land. And then I was looking again for the ribbon threader in the magazine box that I have in my craft room windowsill. And whilst still can't find it, I found two emery boards and loads of correspondence from you listeners. I keep all the letters, you know. I moved them into the expanding magazine file for correspondence, but alas, no ribbon threader. I did have a nice smile to myself with all the letters. And I found all my unpickers. All of them. I am seam ripper positive. I tried to do the technique I was talking about last episode from Pam Demore, but it just didn't work out with my tartan and velvet. I don't think it was due to the sharpness of the unpicker, because it was one of the brand new ones, so beware when unpicking. I tried working on the keep behind the glass and break only in emergency, hand-dyed with cochineal handspun, trying to make a cowl for myself. I went on to a bigger needle, and it still knits lovely, but the pattern I was doing just wasn't working. I had garter stitch to start, herringbone stitch, and then stocking stitch, and you can imagine it pulled in all wonky, and the garter was a different width to the herringbone, and the stocking stitch was, with even a two garter stitch border, was just rolling in, and it was all wonky donkey. What do you call a three-legged donkey? A wonky. What do you call a three-legged donkey playing the piano? A plinky, plonky, wonky donkey. What do you call a three-legged donkey playing the piano playing country music. A honky tonky plinky ponky wonky donkey. I love this joke. What do you call a one-eyed country music playing three-legged donkey playing the piano? A winky wonky honky tonky plinky ponky wonky donkey. Anyway, moving on. I'm just laughing at myself how bad I am. So I ripped it back out again, as in the cowl, not the donkey. I will cast it on again, probably this Friday when the burns are at Cook's Soul. It's a wonderful colour. I really want to use it up. I know it wants to be stocking stitch, but I want something in the middle of it, and it hasn't yet told me what it wants. But I will make something from it. I am determined. I made another slouch bag. Did I tell you last episode? Can't remember. This one has a purple tartan or plaid. I'm not sure if it is a tartan, but it's definitely not Lindsay tartan, which is the bonny purple one I know. Either way, I very much like it. I had a bit of blue curtain material and then some strong green cotton. I had bought this green cotton from IKEA, and it's the one I mentioned in the random facts earlier. Then, as it was too thick for quilting, I never knew what to do with it. We had a swap, can't remember which one now, but the lovely GMB2TCD, Therese, to you, sent over some bags that she'd made, and the one with the spotty zip had a hard cotton lining inside, and I thought, oh, that makes sense. Now I really like my Mackay tartan bag, and the lining is very pretty and thin, and it's from a curtain I made from muslin, and I hand-dyed it, painted it with silver, and I love it. But it's thin. Pretty and thin. Like myself. Well, not really. But my sock needles poke through it too easily. Heather, you can moan about this because you got one, along with my mum. However, using thicker lining might be the way forward. Certainly for a handbag. And the lime green goes very well with the navy blue curtain material. This slouch bag pattern is great for not having to match up patterns because you put the front panels on diagonally to the back. You don't have to match it up because you put the tartan on the right on both sides and it just doesn't have to match. Anyway, that was the intention. I was cutting out the blue for the handles when I realised that, oh, the blue material did indeed have a right and a wrong side, because I didn't think it did. Not a problem for the handles, me thought. Oh, I can even swap over the panels for the bag body. Dun, dun, dun. So I did. But it wasn't until I got the bag panel sewn, turned back in on itself, I realised that I'd swapped the blues over so the right sides were right, showing, and I got the tartans together and the blues together. The tartan's not quite matching up the scene. And I was making this the night of the final of the Great British Sewing Bee, and I'm thinking, oh, Patrick would just pull up this straight away. Sorry, me. Very much enjoyed the Great British Sewing Bee this year. I really liked all the contestants, and I got a bit of a surprise who won, but do you know, there really wasn't very much in it, so I think that the three of them were excellent sewers by the end of it. So back to the handbag. It took me ages to figure out how to put the flap over so that the magnetic clasp would be facing the right way to clasp to the magnetic clasp that was on the body of the handbag. And then also so that the way you put the lining together and you sew it all inside out, you sort of stick it into the bag. Oh, it was a mind melt. I asked Richard to help me and I ordered some magnetic clasps on the Sunday via Amazon, but I had failed to receive them by the Thursday, and also had failed to realise that they were sent from China. Serves me right for not going to Barnyards in the first place, doesn't it? What I did do on the Thursday night was picked out the magnetic clasp from my woolen handbag, and this meant I had to finish it that night because I needed a handbag to take to Edinburgh the next day. But I was really chuffed with it in the end. And now I understand the pattern and the way it's sewn together. I kind of want to make more. I might yet make a couple for competition prizes because I really only need to use one handbag at a time. I even put pockets on the inside of this. but they're a bit high up and too shallow for my liking for my keys. On to the collective. Textile artist, still doing crewel embroidery. And I finished my craft club crafting. You know, where we don't talk about craft club? Well, it's finished and it should be on its way soon to the birthday girl for her big 4-0. You know who you are. Also at textiles, Shirley was working on her shashisko. Still can't say it. Sewing. She has a 1/4 metre long ways of dark blue material and is making a table runner. Besides that, she had a longer Jacobean crewel work piece from the book Crewel Twist by Hazel Blomkamp. See, I looked it up this episode. She said she wanted a wee break from it because it takes ages to make any progress on it. We then tried to encourage her by pointing out, well, it is beautiful and the colours are gorgeous and it just takes ages, and sometimes you just want to look at something that takes ages, but I completely see her point. Sometimes you need a fix of a gratification project. Shirley had along with her a finished wee clutch bag that she had made from a kit that she had bought at the Edinburgh Quilt Show in the shashisko style. I wish they'd choose a different craft that I can actually see. The back of the bag was stitched on and it was in a jade green colour fabric, a kind of like a linen type of fabric. The lining which peeped over the edge was a really bonny dark blue and jade and gold patterned affair. She'd made a button from this fabric which was a kind of shell pattern. Right. Get a circle of fabric and put your hand out because you need to put it on your hand. Then get some stuffing onto the middle of the circle of fabric. And then put a running stitch. You need to use your other hand here. Put your finger round and round. Like you're stirring the... Or you're doing the teddy bear round and round the garden like a teddy bear. One stitch. A two step, a diggly under there. Go round and round like you're a teddy bear. And then you pull your stitches taut so you have a ball. And it's the stuffing is enclosed. Turn it over. Come on, you and the boss, get your hands out. So you've got a ball. Then you stitch it right through the middle of the ball. And you pull threads out and underneath. So then you've got a ridged effect 5 times. Somebody said like a shell, but I can't think of which shell they're talking about. She had some beads in the middle of it to hide the stitching in. Ta-da! A made soft button. Now she'd used all the extra bits of threads that she'd been saving. Remember them? I was saying I have a wee tub beside my machine, sewing machine, where I put my wee threads. And I said, oh, I'll use them for layering. I can now use them for a button project. And it turns out Catherine has a tub of them too. She said Dorothy had suggested using the threads because they're really pliable and can be easily manipulated and sewn through the way that sometimes stuffing can't. The bag was very dainty and it could be either used as a hand clutch bag or then put a long handle attached over for the shoulder. I was quite pleased that she had this in again because I've got a piece of tweed that Joan gave us all last year and I'd forgotten about, and I had it until Valerie recently was stitching on hers. I asked what she was doing. She says, oh, I'm stitching on this piece of tweed that Joan gave us. I had that puzzled look going because I definitely remembered Ella giving us a piece of tweed and told to do something with. Well, it turns out I have been given this as well. And then I found out the same dilemma of, well, what do I do with this? It's about the same size as my laptop, sort of width and height. And it's perfect for the style of bag that Shirley'd made. She even folded it in the way it needs to go so I could see that. Joan's bit of tweed has a lot of different colours in it so I can find a bonny bit of fabric to line it with, no problem. And I also have all those threads sitting ready. It is meant. I had been working on stitching an owl onto the bit of tweed that Ella had given me. I'd cut into this bit of fabric so it really wasn't much enough use for making a bag. Way back I'd stitched a pumpkin onto it and then I had a green thread which then wasn't a good idea because the tweed is black and dark grey, and then stitched on a crewel style a leaf. This was just to say that I'd stitched something in the crewel style, not to actually do a big project. Then what I did with both of them is stuck it to a calendar that my mother-in-law gave me for Christmas, where you put your own photographs onto the calendar. I remember Margaret did this a long time ago with things that we made at textile artists, and I thought I could do this because my colour printer is not on speaking terms with my laptop and I didn't want black and white photos. Plus, I didn't really be bothered going to the chemist or the wee machines that print from memory sticks to get some family photos printed off, which I really must because I love photographs. Youths of today, no idea, putting your film from the chemist, then having to wait for the photographs. And here it took at least 3 days. And then when you went and collected them, there could be nothing there. Not worked at all. Totally rubbish. Or wonderful, and you still have them on the wall. But you have them in reality rather than living your life on the screen for when you take the photograph, but you never print it off. Well, that's me anyway. One of my resolutions is to get them printed up of the bairns when they were tiny. My point is, well, this calendar is getting my little bits of work stuck to it. Of course, I'm putting the seasonal things on in the correct date, so the pumpkin is in October. Ella's tweed had this owl stitch to it, and it became a coin purse. And I did zip and lining. Granted, I'm not very well put in zip, but it is in and it is hidden. I then went back to it and I watched a few tutorials on how to put in a zip correctly. So I'll do that again before I put any more zips. They all seem to start with separate front and back bits of material instead of trying to keep the whole back and front piece together. Oh yes, right. When you turn it inside out, remember to open the zip because trying to open a closed zip from the inside and turn it right sides out is harder than it actually should be. I decided then that as I wasn't going to put any extra stitches or stick things to the tweed, that I'd do a bit of cross stitch, which was a wee lavender sashie and I had a thistle on the design. I'd completely forgotten about this kit and I remembered that I had it when I was on the plane to America and I had taken it to Edinburgh. I had taken that Edinburgh Yarn Festival project bag from the first Yarn Fest onto the plane. I rather enjoyed this cross stitch. Well, that's my textile artist stuff, but Catherine was working on her crewel work too. Us all sitting doing fine embroidery work. Do you know what reminded me of was a scene from like Pride and Prejudice or Poldark. Oh hey, loving me a bit of Poldark these days. The sexy dwarf does Cornish. I was at sewing day and I was actually in charge of sewing day. Mum had gone south to visit her family and I was handed the key and instructions. So with that weight of responsibility, I headed down to the church and opened up. And I even took charge of the money, which I used my owl purse to do. I had taken down my Friendship Star quilt, which is at the quilting stage. I had it along to a quilting day, and Juliana, who's super machine quilting girl, had suggested a feather and fan design for it. But when I tried it, and I utterly recommend that you trial any machine embroidery pattern before you do it, it just couldn't get to work. So I then decided to go for a solar eclipse and stars design because it was the solar eclipse here the day after. I watched it through a welding mask, it was very cool. And it didn't get pitch black, there was this sort of twilight gloaming kind of shadow when it was almost totality. Because it wasn't a complete eclipse, but we got about 96% here. So it was not dark, but everybody said, oh, it's very eerie. And, oh, the birds have stopped. My birds certainly weren't. They were going mental. Just being birdies and doing their normal birdie things, flying about and tweeting and squawking and entertaining me. But the eclipse was something special and the bairns saw it, which was quite impressive, so I was pleased with that. So I decided that I would try and machine embroider this, but if you squint, it's perfect. Reality, not at all. However, it's good enough for me because it's a quilt I was learning on, and well, I kind of want it finished now. And of course, on the last square, the bobbin ran out. It took me a while to get the tension correct again, and it turns out that my Elna 660 machine does not have a very good instruction book. Mum's older Elna Dream Quilter does, but they must have downgraded the instructions by the time they got to mine. However, I muddled through and I finally got it right. Next is to put on the binding, which Mum had cut for me previously. And what's sticking me now is the fact that I got a bit of a cold, I was too tired to do it, and I really have to work hard to get the last bit joined together. I have instructions printed on my notice board, but it's one of those techniques that I need to practice more to get great. There's another quilting sewing day this weekend, but Louise Lala Land Show is moving to do a duathlon, so I'll pick it up again on the next sewing day next Thursday.
Shoppy section.
Oh, onto the shoppy section. Are you still awake out there? The shoppy section. The shop is stocked. There's McLean, Gordon, Farquharson, Robertson, Ancient Fraser, McBags there. If you feel you would like to contribute to my continued running of the podcast but get stuff back as well, then please do go visit www.etsy.com/shop/Keith's Craft.
Blah blah blah
section. Thank you very much for listening. Wow, I've talked for ages today. I appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me splaff on. Especially you people that were looking for drams again this episode. My email is keithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt, Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook as keithnesscraft. You can access the Flickr photographs from Louise J 2010 or via the Podbean site as www.keithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. And the photographs are down the right hand side. The music is from Avalon Rising, The Great Selkie. This is from www.musicalley.com and you can go and buy it there. Whew. Thank you for listening and keep on crafting.